The following is a duplicate of Tape 2, Side 1, of an interview conducted with Gim Fong for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project. California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Study Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. June 25, 1980. Second interview with Mr. Gim Fong at his shop in Chinatown, conducted by Beverly Chen.
Did you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
Not really, but I wish I was. At one time in my life, maybe when I was about 8, 9 years old, we wish we were not Chinese.
Why?
We just like to be all white, I guess. Everybody goes through the stage, I imagine. Then after you hit a certain age, then you realize Chinese is an advantage to be Chinese, to your advantage.
What would make you come to the opposite conclusion, that it would be an advantage to be Chinese versus your previous feelings?
I don't know. It's pretty hard to say. It's just my experience. At one point in my life, I wish I was white instead of Chinese.
Because you were being discriminated against?
In a way, I guess.
I see. Did you have any arguments with your family about your feelings? Did you tell them about your feelings? Like you wish
no.
you were?
No. I never did tell them.
So you were always in agreement with your family about the fact that you're Chinese then?
After a while, after you grow up, you mature a little bit, you realize the culture, you know, it's to my advantage. You have more, our culture is so deep and important to me. But at one point in my life, I wish I was gonna marry, you know, white. Caucasian.
Oh, that was in your teens,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You think that's common among Chinese Americans?
I think we all go through that, even though they don't want to say it.
I see. Then perhaps would you say that you accepting your Chinese heritage is out of perhaps despair or just knowledge that you could never really be white, so you better accept.
Well, after
you
grow up a little bit, you look at yourself in the mirror. You can be American as you can. You can speak perfect English.
Uh-huh.
You can dress like American, but then you cannot change your looks.
Uh-huh.
Your attitude, you know, you could change too.
So you sort of give up.
Well, I accepted myself
uh-huh.
after a while. I noticed a lot of people go through that same stage too. I'm not 21,
uh-huh.
so it's very common.
Yeah.
And also, being in my business, that helped too. Learning, you know, learning my arts and craft life.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what kinds of goods were carried in your father's store?
Antiques, same
antiques?
Time. Uh-huh.
What about things like the kites and women's little jewelry pieces and so on?
They
so
had
forth.
Everything. We have
mm.
now almost basically the same type, you know, antiques and tourist thing. You have to have a mixture.
But your shop is different from the other tourist stores.
Every shop is different, basically, because each person is different.
Were there any things which were carried then that are not carried by you now?
Yeah, my father's store, we had a best. We had a whole series of maybe 4 stores in the old China City.
Mm-hmm.
One was a basket shop, one was a silk shop, one was an antique shop.
Oh.
And we carried everything.
Oh.
I didn't want a basket and things like that. And silk, you can't get, so I try not to specialize in that.
You cannot get silk?
Not old one, not embroideries.
Ah, this is what you mean.
Yeah.
Silk tapestry.
Yeah, I just collect it, I won't sell it.
Oh, I see. And no herbs or anything like that?
That's different.
Okay. Which were the most important families in Los Angeles?
What do you mean?
Before World War II. Well, you, perhaps in China City or the thereabouts.
We were all in the same shoe, you know. We were all poor.
None of the families stood out?
No.
Any individuals? No?
That we looked up to?
Yeah.
Not special.
Or that you know of that are prominent for one reason.
We didn't know anybody there. When we were young, we were very isolated. You just limit to one area. You don't move out.
Uh-huh.
We are not exposed like the kids are now.
What kind of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
World War II?
Yeah.
Most of them are merchants. Our family. And they had other jobs like architecture, engineers, but a very few.
Did you know of any architects or engineers?
Yeah, one or two.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would have been an average income for most people?
I can't remember. I think that in our shop, we made $10, $20 a day. That's a lot of money.
And your shop operated 6 days or 7 days?
7 days a week.
7 days a week. That would be an annual income of, if you get like $10, then you will have only
3,600. Yeah. But just think, my mother used to go out and buy meat, 10 cents worth.
Yeah.
She used to send me to the market all the time.
How much would that be, 10 cents
worth?
Maybe
a quarter of a pound or something like that.
So, based on that $10 a day...
That was a lot of money.
$50
is a lot of money.
Uh-huh, yes. Sure.
Things were very inexpensive then.
Did you pay rent?
Yeah, that wasn't very much, though.
I
can't remember because I was so young.
Uh-huh.
They never tell us about those things. So we just try to help.
What sort of things did you buy, and did you remember their prices, other than meat? How about going to the movies?
We sell very seldom a movie.
Toys?
Toys, yeah, but we used to buy it after Christmas when all the defective ones are, on a pile. And then we pick them up, we take home, we repair it. That's how we were so handy.
I see.
So we improvise everything we
don't you get Christmas gifts? But
yeah,
then I guess you wouldn't know how much they cost.
Yeah, we used to get some, but only one family that used to give us toys.
Out of charity or what?
No, it's just our family that always gave us.
Uh-huh.
But we never accepted any charity.
Yeah.
Chinese would never do that.
Was it necessary? In other words,
sure
were you a middle class or
lower middle class? Poverty, I would say. That we were never admitted.
You were merchants. Merchants,
yeah,
are not
but merchants
to be
were
poor.
Not in those days. We were talking about 1939, 40s. And also, what's funny, my father, we could have made a lot of money because we had a big family.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at the age where we could have worked in the movies. Hayward and Subu and those people.
Yeah.
My father would not let us, any of us, work in front of the camera. He was very strict on that. I don't care how poor we were, we'd never work in front of the camera. That's his ban. I don't know, his philosophy.
I see. So you lost a chance for a good income then. You lived in the store or
no,
above the store?
We lived a block away.
In an apartment?
No. In those days, it used to be old hotels.
Hotels?
Apartment, like I guess. And it's upstairs. It's an old building.
Were there any other tenants besides your family?
Usually there's three families living in it. You know, it's a real big place, a little rooms, and then there's a community kitchen.
The three families share the kitchen?
Let's see. Two family, we live in one side, and one family on the other side. So it's the whole top of a apartment building, like.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, used to be hotels, little rooms.
Mm-hmm. How much was the rent, do you remember?
Maybe $30.
Mm-hmm. And your mother never worked, right?
No.
Other than helping your dad?
She couldn't speak English.
And did you actually have two families living with you? Or did
you? Well, they were close, but you know, we could close the door and we isolate ourselves in one section. They live in another section.
I presume they were Chinese.
Yeah.
Were there all Chinese around that
area?
I see. And so most Chinese tend to cluster together?
Yes.
Why
this
do
is China's Chinatown, like China City. It's on Spring Street.
What happened after China City got burned down?
They rebuilt it. They rebuilt that one section. And
did the Chinese move after?
We finally moved out of there because there was no big draw. We didn't have any big restaurants. So they finally just died.
I see.
So we moved out of there in 1953, I believe.
I see. And do you feel that Chinese move in waves, kind of, you know,
they
like a wave and move out like a wave?
There is a certain reason for that. Not that we're prejudiced or anything, but I feel I like to go where I'm wanted.
Uh-huh.
And I feel at home.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean we move to Monterey Park. In fact, when I was there, this is 15 years ago.
Oh, 15 years ago there were already Chinese in Monterey Park, I see.
There was not that many. They're more integrated, you know, more balanced.
Uh-huh.
But now it's more, a lot more Chinese. But I still feel at home.
But there were mostly, I presume, Mexicans, right, at that time?
Not that many. It was a mixture.
Oh. So you felt comfortable there?
Sure. I feel safe. I feel much better.
Were you ever?
That's the reason. You're accepted.
Threatened? You said safe. I mean.
Well.
What do you mean?
We came from an area where Crenshaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's a black neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't before. It was a mixed neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
That became all black.
When did that happen?
That came. We moved there in 1949.
Uh-huh.
And we left in, let's see, my father was there until he died. So that was, I guess he was there 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
He still wanted to stay, because the older generation didn't give him any trouble. It's the young ones, throw rocks at him and things like that. Because he was different, he was old and he was Chinese, I guess. So I told my dad, you're going to move out of there. Would it kill you?
The young blacks?
Yeah.
Did that. Mm-hmm.
They didn't know better, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You can't scold them, you can't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't discipline them.
And the police didn't do anything?
There's no use talking to the police.
Why not? They're supposed to protect you.
You're not going to protect everybody. I just tell my dad, when the kids get out of school, get out of the street.
So did he move with you?
He stayed.
Oh.
Until my mother died.
I see. And then?
Then we sold the house.
What did the people do with the money they saved?
Every
penny. Yeah. What did they do with the money?
Depends on what they want to do. If they want to buy a house, but they believe in cash, because they want, they don't believe in any credit system.
If you buy a house, you have to.
They want cash.
Oh, so they pay out on
cash.
They pay
in cash. But I didn't believe in that because I won't have a house. Because I can't save that kind of money.
Uh-huh.
Because the house goes up faster than you can save.
Right.
But in the old days, my father says, if you have cash, you can buy it. Otherwise, you don't buy a house.
Yes.
So
they saved up pot
right.
of cash. Where they put it in savings accounts or something?
Yeah.
But
before it was easy, $8,000 you could buy a house. You're talking about 30, 40 years ago. So
yeah.
You can't do that now.
Yeah, no. Right. Yeah, I can understand. Did your parents, I believe, do not gamble, right?
Never.
They would not allow you to gamble.
Like, we couldn't even play cards in front of them.
Not even Chinese New Year. I see. Did you ever witness any gambling going around in China City?
That's way of life, I guess. We don't hang around with gambling joints, but there's gambling all over.
And you
could gamble anywhere you want, you know.
Where
in a streetcar, in a bus, you could gamble.
I believe there are actually places you could go to play
kinds
of gambling. Do you
it's
know where they are?
It's their form of recreation, I guess.
Uh-huh.
My job, yeah.
Yeah. Do they have mahjong halls?
Yeah.
Is
day
that legal?
In those days, I don't think it was legal. But so they did it anyway.
How did they get away with it?
They used to be raided. Next day, they open up again.
I see.
There's a harassment by the police, that's all. Now they don't let them do that. They don't harass them anymore.
But theoretically, it's still gambling, isn't it?
Yeah, but you could gamble anywhere. You go to racehorses, it's gambling.
Oh, that's true. Do you know of any Chinese who are involved in politics in China?
In China, no.
How about in Los Angeles?
Politicians? Not really. That's one thing I stay away from.
Yeah, you never noticed any political activities.
I don't
want
to get involved in politics. I'll help somebody, but I won't get my personal involved.
Did the Chinese feel that it was necessary to send money back home?
Yes.
Did your parents do so?
I'm sure they did, but they don't tell us their, you know, private lives.
Did you yourself send money back?
No.
When they passed away, do you know how long they carried on this activity of sending money back?
Well, every year they would send them money, you know, for New Year.
Oh.
For the family back home.
Every year until they died?
Uh-huh.
And then they didn't ask you to carry on?
Well, there is somebody taking care of it, not me though.
Oh. Some member of your family, I see. Do you contribute to that?
No.
Were the Chinese in L.A. affected by the Depression?
I don't... at least my father wasn't.
He was not?
No. When you're poor, you don't affect you that much.
Do you think his business could have been better if it were not for the Depression?
I don't know. My father wasn't working in the Depression time. He was working... he didn't have a business. I think he was working for my uncle.
Not the period between 37 and 45.
It was a rough time.
Uh-huh. Because of the Depression, or just
yeah, it was tight.
Because of the
business? Well, business was hard.
Most of your clients were Americans, right?
Yes. 99%.
The Chinese don't believe in collecting it?
They do now. But at one time, they can't afford it. Most of them can't afford it. It's a luxury that they couldn't afford.
Do you think Chinese have done better or worse than the general population in L.A.?
They've done more better than anybody else, I think.
Including the whites?
Depends on what white, you know, average or certain whites.
Average general
population. They've done better than average.
I see.
because there's a reason for that, because Chinese sacrifice to upgrade the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the whites don't do that anymore. They go downhill, even with the high, they go backwards.
You mean they
don't
work as hard or
what? Nothing to work for. And they got so much money, they don't want to work. At least I've seen a lot of families going down.
You mean the...
prominent family.
American.
Mm. Oh, there's more Chinese that start from nothing. I've seen more of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, start literally nothing.
Nothing, right. Have you compared the Chinese with the Jewish people?
The Jewish are... I think they're a little more aggressive than the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And being white, they have one jump ahead of you, so.
Do you think they're more shrewd in doing business?
I guess so. And they help each other, I guess.
And the Chinese don't?
Not that much.
Yeah.
They're on their own.
Uh-huh.
But I think the new generation will better about this, helping each other.
Is that a common comparison? Do people make that sort of comparison between Chinese and Jews?
I think so.
You feel there are cultural similarities?
Yeah, they're both hardworking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever mistaken as a Japanese?
In fact, we had those badges, you remember? I don't really remember. I had when I gave it to my friend. Because I'm Chinese or something. I have buttons, you know.
Uh-huh. And you had to wear it all the time?
Well, that was World War II. And a lot of people mistaken as being Japanese. They don't know better between Chinese and Japanese. They can't distinguish. It's very hard, really.
How did people feel at that time, being Chinese? World War
II. I didn't really feel it that much. Because we were hanging around Chinatown, and never left Chinatown.
Then you wouldn't need to wear those buttons.
No, but I was just cute to have it, so we saw
it. Oh, I see. Oh,
and they gave it to us. You know,
where did these buttons come from?
I don't remember, but I think Joe Mar, somebody gave them out, I guess.
Oh.
Have you ever seen one? No. I gave it to a friend. I wish I should have kept it.
What would happen if you ever were mistaken for Japanese?
I don't know. It never happened to me. But my friend's mistaken as, when he was in the Korean War. He got caught, captured by the Americans.
Oh, because they thought he was a Korean?
Yeah. But he named the SC football starting lineup.
Oh.
So they let him go. He was wounded.
Oh, I see. Didn't he have his uniform on?
Yeah, but you could get somebody's uniform changed, right?
Ah, I see.
So I interrogated him when he asked.
Do you feel the Chinese took advantage of the Japanese situation? Because a lot of Japanese businesses, like produce business and
I don't know if he did or not, but
disintegrated.
Like they sold a lot of things in Japanese town.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want it. It was all made in Japan. We didn't want to sell anything made in Japan. We had a boycott on Japanese goods. In fact, we had to erase the names, otherwise people won't buy it. You know, plates, there was a made in Japan.
Uh-huh.
Nobody will buy it. We had to finally erase it.
Uh-huh.
You know, grind it up.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, otherwise we couldn't sell it.
Why were you selling them in the first
place? We had it before, you know, when we bought it. Before the war.
Oh, you sold Japanese goods
too? Well, we still have allowance that these things here are made in Japan anyway. You look outside, they're all made in Japan. A lot of them.
The arts and crafts.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. What did you think of the way the Chinese were portrayed in American movies?
In those days, we didn't think much of it because we didn't look at them.
Oh, I see. Did you ever hear anyone say that they didn't like the way the Chinese were portrayed in American movies back in those days?
Yeah, my father didn't like it.
Oh.
They give you lousy jobs, you know. So
lousy jobs?
You know, what kind of big leagues will you ever get?
Oh, I see. I meant in the, when you go to see a movie, the way the Chinese are portrayed. Did your father, did he go to
never see? Looks at any American.
But he didn't like the fact that the Chinese were not being given big roles.
Well, I don't know, he's against any kind of movie.
I thought he was just against people being in the movie business, including...
But he never expressed that much about, you know, the movies.
Did he ever tell you why he didn't want you to be in the movie?
Yeah, but that's his philosophy, that's all. He thinks some of them are...
Thinks it's a corrupt field?
Corrupts, it's easy life. He doesn't want us to corrupt us with easy life.
Yes.
You sit around, just, you know, work a few hours. You sit there and wait for calls.
Uh-huh.
That's his philosophy. I don't know about... I thought it was silly ourselves.
Uh-huh.
That we weren't going to go against him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they could tempt you with different things. Money.
So you never did?
No.
None of it. Did you
need
ever...
a little bit of nice experience.
I see. Did you ever hear anyone say that they were... embarrassed or unhappy of being Chinese, that stage you were talking about, did you actually hear people talk about it, or did you only know that they felt the same way
we're
you
always
did?
Thinking, oh, we're sure. You know, when we're kids, you always wish you know, white and all that, you know.
You actually verbalize it, they did?
Yeah, when kids, when boys talk about boys, you know, with the boys.
Oh, I see. And that continued through your teenage days?
Yeah. After I got on the service, then my world almost changed.
What kind of jobs would most Chinese consider to be ideal for themselves during that time?
I don't know, we need to think about things like that.
Your father never said, oh, I wish I were, you know, a doctor or something.
Yeah, sure, he wished that on every one of us, but you know, it's not that easy to be a doctor. He wanted somebody, one of us, to be a doctor in the family. None of us became a doctor.
And he himself just accepted his lot as a merchant and never wanted to be anything else.
No, he didn't have any education. How can he become anything?
I see. Besides wanting one of you to be a doctor, did he want one of you, another one, to be something else besides a doctor?
He never really expressed what he wanted, you know, never told us what he wanted of us.
But he did say he
wanted me to be in business after a while, because he never did tell me. I was going, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a mechanic, I wanted to be an aircraft mechanic, I wanted to do all kind of crazy things, like Americans.
Mm.
And I tried it, and I didn't like it. I had my own shop and everything.
Oh.
So I know it was rough.
What was rough?
Being a mechanic.
Oh.
It's a rough life for me, anyway. Because
yeah.
In the first place, I wasn't built. I was real skinny. I was only 110, 120 pounds.
Oh.
But I used to do all those heavy work.
So you finally took over his shop?
Yeah.
Shop, I see. How about yourself? What do you think would be ideal for your children? Do you have any?
I don't, it's up to them. They have education. And my girl's going to SC.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to take up business administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the other one wants to be.
And you don't,
she
you don't guide them?
No. Well, my wife does talk to the boss. I have two girls.
Uh-huh.
And they both work.
But you don't have any preconceived ideas
no.
of what you would like them?
I told them to be what they want.
Mm-hmm.
We'll guide them, but I'm not going to force anything on anybody.
Oh, at one point, your father did not join any association other than
business.
The family.
Yeah, family association, maybe business association.
He joined business
associations? You know, Chinatown Association, District, China City Association.
Was he active?
Sort of.
Do you know what he did? Of what his position
I
was?
I think one time he was the vice president or secretary or something like that.
And his name was
Fang Yong.
Fang Yong. Oh. What, how do you
spell it?
Yeah, Y-U-N.
Y-U-N.
Uh-huh. And he was, when did he get, I guess he left China City in 53, right?
53, around there.
And then
he moved over here.
Moved over
next
here.
To
This is the end of the duplicate tape of Tape 2, Side 1 of the interview with Gim Fong.